Hello again. We're going to look at probably one of the most well-known stories in the Word of God, maybe next to David and Goliath, and that's the story of Daniel in the lion's den. And it's a thrilling story. It's an exciting story to, when you think about it. It's unusual, and it's something that is a real encouragement to those who are experiencing trials in life, as we're going to see a bit later. So what about this? Let's look first at the context of this story. And the first is, who was Darius? Some have questioned the legitimacy of this story and the fact that they don't find any extra biblical information about King Darius. But most conservative scholars feel that Darius was either another name for Cyrus, the Persian, or what I would suggest is a more likely case is that Darius the Mede was served underneath Cyrus the Persian. It was a dual empire. It was the empire of the Medes and Persians. And so Cyrus was the overall king while Darius was underneath him. And Darius began to reign at about the age of 62, and he only reigned for 2 years before he died, at which point Cyrus took over completely the kingdom. And so as we begin, well, let's just read the first few verses, verses 1 to 5 of Daniel chapter 6. And here the word of God says, "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom, and over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them, so that the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. And so the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. And then these men said, 'We shall find no charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God.'" So we see here immediately a conflict in this setting up of this new kingdom. It was decided by the king to have 120 satraps to administer the affairs of the kingdom, which would also be involved collecting the taxes, and to have three governors to make sure the satraps were honest and did their duties in a correct way. And these three governors, of which Daniel was one, were reported directly to the king. But as often is the case, people, when they're in government, try to find a benefit for themselves to see how they can skim a little off the top. So most likely this was the biggest issue that these men had with Daniel, who was an honest and upright man. And it's an interesting the phrase in verse 2 that the king should not suffer loss. And that's why he had set it up. He didn't want any harm done to the kingdom through the stealing of money, but as well as no conspiracies against the king himself, which both of which were quite common in different empires, for people try to gain an advantage or to try to have a conspiracy to remove the king. And so before long, Daniel distinguished himself above all the others. And what really probably rankled these other men were the fact that not only was Daniel an honest man, which shone a light on their own darkness, but that the king was thinking of giving Daniel absolute authority over the others, reporting directly to the king. And so they didn't like that. And so they tried to find some charge against Daniel concerning his work and concerning the kingdom. But no matter how they looked, they couldn't find anything. Doesn't that remind us of our Lord Jesus Christ? When we think about his walk for 33 years on this earth, the testimony of both his followers and even others who were not believers, they would testify to his amazing words, his gracious words, somebody who was full of grace and truth, the Word of God says. And they would constantly make statements such as, nobody ever spoke like this, that he was unique, and indeed he was the Son of God, and he was exhibiting perfectly God manifest in the flesh. The words he spoke were the words his Father gave him. The works he did were in obedience to his Father. And so he was perfect in all ways. And his Father in heaven even said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, which means fully pleased. There was no defect. There was nothing wrong in his character, his words, his actions, his attitudes. He was the Holy One. He was without sin. And so even Pilate, when the Lord was brought before him, said, I find no fault in this man. And so the Lord was examined like no other during his years on earth, and yet they could find no fault in him. Indeed, he had an excellent spirit within him. Now, Daniel, of course, was a normal man. He was a sinner. He was certainly not perfectly sinless like the Lord Jesus Christ, but he excelled in his ways. The Queen Mother said in the previous chapter, when the handwriting was on the wall and there was a great disturbance at the banquet, she suggested that they bring in Daniel because he had an excellent spirit. And indeed, again, there's this testimony here, and the king was thinking of setting Daniel over all the others. What does it mean to have an excellent spirit? Well, he would have been faithful in all his ways. He would have been industrious and capable in his work, and he would have been honest. And indeed, that's an exhortation to us to be a testimony to the world in the way we conduct our affairs. And so whether we're in full-time service for the Lord or whether we're working at a secular job, we are to be a light to a lost world, and we're to be an example in our work and in our faithfulness to our employer and to our bosses. And Daniel was like that. And so there was a conspiracy forming, and the idea where it says that they tried to find some charge against him in verse 4, there's the idea that it wasn't just a one-time meeting. They were having meetings going over different times, say, how can we get rid of this Daniel? And he was examined, and they could find no error or fault in him. And so they decide the only way we're going to do that is to put him into conflict with the kingdom through his beliefs in his God. Somehow his worship of the true God has to be brought into conflict with the kingdom and the laws of the kingdom. And so they came and hatched up a plan on how to do that, to bring him into conflict with the king and the laws of the land. So we go on to read in verse 6. It says that the governors and satraps thronged before the king and said thus to him, King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators and satraps, the counselors and advisors, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. Therefore, King Darius, sign the written decree. So what we see here is a few mistakes made by the king, and we see the deviousness of this plan. First of all, these men lied when they made it appear that they were all in it together, and that included Daniel. The king made a mistake in that when they tried to present it in this fashion, that he didn't ask the question, well, where's Daniel? Daniel wasn't with them. But they made it look like everybody was in agreement, including Daniel, and so he saw no harm. And also, the flattery involved in this appealed to his pride. And for the next 30 days, he would either be worshipped as one of the gods, or he would be the representative of one of the gods. In both cases, this is wrong. you know, there's only one God, and that was the God of Daniel, and it's the God that believers, true believers, worship today. That God said, there shall be no other gods except me. He said, I am the Lord, and there's none like me. And so we are to worship the one true God. And we're not to make images or representations of the true God. That we have to no graven images of the true God. And certainly men should never put themselves in the place as priest unto the God. And how sad today that in professing Christendom there are those who put themselves up as priests, and you can only approach God through them. But the wonderful truth of Scripture that in Christ, every single believer, man or woman, is a priest unto God. And we can come boldly to the throne of grace. We can pray before God directly, and we don't have to go through another man. And indeed, that is it should not be. And so the king fell for this, and he fell for their plan. And he signed the decree, and the tragedy in this was that when a law went in, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, it could not be altered. And this does not remind us of the truth that that man's laws cannot be altered by man. Only God's law is the one that stays. Forever his word is established in heaven. And it does remind us of a law that is true. And that's the law of sin and death. And the Bible says that the soul that sinneth must die. And that was a message to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And the Lord said, if you eat of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. And when they did, in disobedience to the Lord, they immediately died spiritually, and their future physical death was ensured. Sin brings death. That is a law that cannot be altered. But this law, as we'll see later, it could be altered, but not by man, but by God. So the king fell for it, and he fell for their devious plan. And so as we read on, it says in verse 10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Then these three men assembled and found Daniel praying and make supplication before his God. And they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, this thing is true according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. So they answered and said before the king, that Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king, or for the decree that you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day. And when the king heard these words, he was greatly displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. So here we see that these men engaged in something that Proverbs chapter 6 says that the Lord hates. And you could check off the boxes to each of these things that these men had done. It says, these six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness that speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. And when the king realized what had happened, he was displeased with himself. He said, how could I have fallen for this? And he knew the gravity of the situation, and he tried to think of a way that he could get out of it, because he knew according to this law, it had to be enacted before the sun went down. But what do we see about Daniel? He didn't change his custom. It says, as was his custom since early days, he prayed three times a day, morning, noon, and night, with his window open, looking towards Jerusalem. Why was he looking towards Jerusalem? Well, once 1 Kings 8 says that when Solomon dedicated the newly built temple, he envisioned a day when Israel might be captive in a land. And he asked that if they find themselves and they repent in captivity and they pray towards Jerusalem, Lord, that you will hear their prayers. And Daniel had been in captivity all these years, and he was faithful in opening his window and praying towards Jerusalem, as Solomon had said in his prayer. And what Daniel was doing was fulfilling what Solomon had asked the captives to do. And he was doing that with the anticipation that the Lord would hear his prayers. And so what we see here, Daniel didn't change his way. So we should never pray in exhibition just to put on a show. And so if Daniel had not normally done this, it would have been wrong in this case just to do it because of this particular situation. As well, it would have been wrong for him to change his custom because of the fact that it was now a danger to do it. He could have, said, 30 days, I'll just pray in secret, and then who will know? And then once it's over, then I can go back to doing what I normally do. I don't want to ruffle feathers. But no, he just did what he normally did. His circumstances did not overrule his normal practice. And that's true of us. We should attempt as believers, in fact, it's important as believers that we have this daily time with the Lord. It's very important to start that in our young Christian life. And if we can start it when we're young and make it a habit, it will be with us for the rest of our life. Daniel did it in chapter 1. And here we see now a man in his late 80s or possibly even 90 years old. Now he's still doing as what he always did. It says, as was his custom since early days. And so he's praying and he's not trying to hide what he's doing. He's showing his belief and trust in the true God. And it is said trying to find the verse here. There's a verse in the Word of God, Psalm 55 and verse 16 to 17. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. And so maybe Daniel made this a practice and based on these words of King David in Psalm 55 to pray morning, noon and night. And maybe we're not able to do that in our present situation, but we should have at least a time during the day when we will dedicate to our time to grow in the knowledge and grace of our Lord Jesus by feeding upon the Word of God and bringing our requests to him. Possibly a good pattern is to begin the day by asking for the Lord's help in the morning, and then at night asking him to examine our life and to see if there's been any defilement or any sin in our life, and to confess it as he reveals it to us in his word. And so to have that continual awareness of the presence of the Lord Jesus in our life and his the availability of his help to help us to live a life that is pleasing to him, to be that person who will be excellent in spirit, to be that person that will stand out as one who honors his God. Isn't that what we want to do? And Daniel was that kind of a man. But the king recognized that, and he saw the value of Daniel, and he liked Daniel, but now he was in that predicament. What was he going to do? And so these people had tried to make it look like Daniel had shown disloyalty to the king, and they slandered Daniel and his character and tried to make it look like he was against the king. And now the king realizes he knew that these men were not speaking the truth, and he knew that he had been hoodwinked. But what was he to do now? And so he tried to come up with a plan, and he couldn't come up with one. And so these men probably recognized that the king was trying to find a way out of his predicament. So in verse 15, it says, these men approached the king and said, "Know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and Persians that no decree or statute which the king establishes may be changed." And so the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, "Your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you." And then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signets of his lords, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. So we see here that Daniel is cast into the den of lions. Now, this den was something that was down below, and it was deep enough that nobody could climb out, and there was just a small hole on the top, and then something could be put over the hole. And so possibly through this hole, food would have been lower to the lions. But whatever the case, there was no way a human could get out of that den after being cast down below. They would have needed some way of a rope or something to get out of it. But that the king was hopeful, but I wouldn't suggest he had a faith that the Lord would deliver Daniel, but he had a hope. He was hoping that would happen. He said, "Your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you." And so he's saying, I sure hope that that is the case. Isn't it interesting? He said, "whom you serve continually." Shouldn't that be our testimony? Isn't that what we would want said of us, that we are faithful and that we serve the Lord continually? There's no deviation. There's no ups and downs, but that we are consistent in our service to the Lord. We serve him continually. And that's another great compliment made to Daniel by the king. And so the king gave the command. Notice that the tomb was, opening was sealed, both by the king and then the lords, so that there would be no tampering or no charge of tampering made by someone maybe trying to get Daniel out. And doesn't that remind us of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was put in the tomb, and there was the accusation made by the rulers that maybe they'll come and try to steal the body. And so they wanted the authorities to seal the tomb with the seal of Rome, which they did. And not only that, they posted a guard there so that no one could, in their view, steal the body. But that was their sealing. But of course, God overruled their sealing, and the Lord rose from the dead the third day. Now, he didn't need the rock to be rolled away for him to rise from the dead, of course. Our Lord rose from the dead before the stone was rolled away. And the reason the angel rolled away the stone was to be a witness to the fact that the Lord was not there anymore, that he was risen. And so the Lord was already risen when the stone was rolled away. And the Lord overruled that. And as we're going to end now, but we'll see in our next session how he also overruled in this sealing over the den of lions. God bless.